How you doing? I feel that. That the good is in the air today. That's good. Praise God. Welcome again. If you weren't here last week, welcome to 2026. Thank you guys for everyone that shared and everyone that wanted to share, but we ran out of time last week. What a beautiful time of just talking about testimony. God is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So we just shared testimonies about how has God been with you in 2025 as we move into this new year. And I actually just got a message during church from someone in another community that doesn't go to church here, but they watch our stuff, and they said, man, they just said, I'm just in tears. I'm in tears of the goodness of God through those people's testimonies. How powerful. And I said, I concur, agree. That is so good. So thank you guys for sharing. Thank you for being an encouragement for others as we brace to run this new year, going off the faith and the testimonies of others. Amen? Ready for a great year?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. We are starting a new series, Formed. Has anyone ever done that? Done the clay and the pot? Donna has? Anybody else? Anyone else made clay? Jeff, you did? You did? A few of you. Hold on now. I feel like there's a stigma about this that I don't know about. You guys are all hesitant to raise your hands. Are you embarrassed about making clay? I would think that was so cool. Had I done this ever before, I'd be like, I did this. I'd be telling you a whole embarrassing story about what I did with some clay and wrecked someone's shirt or whatever. And it's just probably what I would do. Well, cool. I have never done that. I think that would be pretty awesome to do, but I've shoveled clay. Anyone ever shoveled clay before? Oh, my word. We were building our house, and we were doing it ourselves, and we, you know, didn't have much money and couldn't hire a lot of stuff, and we got the footings all poured up, and it's a deep basement, 9-foot basement, so it's deep. And on that west side, you know, it was all of that. It was just a huge clay wall. We got about 4 inches of rain or something like that, and the clay wall collapsed on top of they weren't even poured yet. They were formed up. And these plastic Formadrain, expensive forms, and so we had to shovel out clay. So Tyler Schonsberg and Conrad White, they for about $3 a day came and worked for me, because I don't have money to pay you guys. It's all right, we'll come here. You know, they were just helping out and stick that shovel in, right? Oh, and then a guy with a rope up on the top pulling that clay up. Because you couldn't get in there with a skid loader because it was all formed up and stuff. Man. Anyways, clay. We're talking about clay. We're not actually talking about clay, but we're talking about being formed. Let's get off the bunny trails and get to what we're talking about. Yeah, how in the world did you get to be the way you are? My goodness. Those of you that are laughing probably have had someone tell you that before. Anyone ever had heard that? How did you end up that way? That's what we're talking about this morning. How did you end up that way, for crying out loud? How did you end up that way? And we're talking about it we're talking about it in general as well, but we're talking about it in the context, ultimately, of walking with Christ. And my word, it is easy to lose focus because this world is a noisy place. Wowzers. Anyone ever been online in the last week? It is, I was walking through, Marnie said, stay off Facebook. I said, all right. Like, yep, I'm going to not look. Just, wow. Like, it is so easy to let your heart just be, whoa, and whoa. Anyone ever been, don't raise your hands. Anyone ever been a little too reactive sometimes? Right? We can get like that. And we can get, I've been walking with Jesus enough years now. I've been in some form of ministry for, I think, 30 years or 31 years, 30 years, I think. And people get really excited about things and often get really adamant about things. And if I could count on, if I had a nickel for every time that someone's like, you have to look at this, whatever. We need to do, you know, like just, and often they're not wrong. It's good stuff, but people get really, and we like that. We like the passion. We like the excitement. We don't like you being dead, right? We like you energized, but the new thing sometimes can get us distracted from the main thing. And I don't mean that. This isn't being really critical, but I'm just saying there's a lot of noise. Like YouTube's got 50 some million channels, and some of those have thousands of videos. Like, it's crazy the amount of, like, if you're keeping up with every new thing, oh my word, you can't. It's just overload. And so what I'm trying to say is it's easy to get distracted. So we're ultimately talking about how you get to be the way you are. And I just kept having this quote from Richard Foster. Richard Foster wrote a book, I think it was in the late 70s, book I read in the 90s called Celebration of Discipline. You remember that one? We read that as a church board, yep. Celebration of Discipline, and it's about the spiritual disciplines. And this is a quote from Richard Foster, and it fit, but it didn't really fit. And the more I just, like, I really want to share this. So I'm going to start with this, and it does fit into the whole thing, but I want to start just by saying, like, gosh, we can be distracted easily. And Richard Foster says this: there's one major difference that has occurred in the past 40 years that does indeed impinge upon the spiritual life. I can state it in one word: distraction. Distraction is the primary spiritual problem in contemporary culture. Frankly, when we are perpetually distracted, we are unable to discern the Kol Yahweh, the voice of the Lord. And so I say that to say this. It's really easy in our Christian walk to get impressed with people, right? And it's good to have mentors, and it's good. We talk about that all the time. It's good to have people that are walking out their faith, but it's easy to get impressed by flashy preachers or people on a pedestal or this guy that can do this or has this talent or whatever. I remember being kind of pretty brand new in ministry. I think Jim was on board, I think, at that time. I'm trying to remember. Jim was the associate pastor. I was the youth pastor, and Dwight was the senior pastor. And Jim and I shared an office, and then I married his daughter, and it was exciting times. And then he kicked me out of the office, and it was just, you know. But I remember being, and I won't say any names, but I remember being at a pastor's conference, and back when we first started going down to Dave and Jeannie's down there, and I remember this guy, and he was just on fire for the Lord, and we were just prophesying over different people, and he prayed over me, and I just thought, you are so cool. And like 8 months later, he ran off with the church secretary and divorced his wife. I'm like, you suck. And now you can't say that from the pulpit, so just delete that out of your memory. So I used to be really impressed with a lot of that stuff. I used to be really impressed with, man, this guy knows all these, whatever. And I remember being just a snot-nosed youth pastor and hanging out with Jim and Dwight. We'd go to different places for kind of retreats and stuff. And I remember you guys reading that book, Finish Strong, or whatever it was. And I remember those conversations about finishing well. Like this isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. And so that's what all this is about, is not about what's the latest thing, but it's about, how are you being formed? How are you becoming like Jesus? You know what I've been impressed with after seeing a lot? I have been to so many conferences and talked to pastors all over the nation. I've seen a lot of stuff. You know what I'm impressed with? I'm impressed with someone who's been walking with Jesus for 40 years that still loves the Lord. I'm impressed with people who love their wives well. I'm impressed with families that know how to work through conflict. I'm impressed with people that are humble. I'm impressed with people that play the long game. And I at heart, we're still charismatic, and I still love the, we should have the, when I was in high school, me and Jonathan Evenson, we had our guitars and pretended we were in a band, and we'd get these little cans. You remember that, Tara? Oh my gosh. And we'd get these soup cans, and we'd put two nails through a board and wrap tinfoil around that, and then we'd hook it up to an electrical socket, and then we'd borrow Ed Evenson's gunpowder, and so we'd fill them up with gunpowder. And I remember being at Dad's place. You had that gooseneck trailer, and we were out, and we had one on each side, and I don't remember who else was out there. And so me and Jonathan put our amps out there, and we're like, and we're like, now, and they plug it in, and so at heart, I'm still that guy. I still like the flashy stuff, but you know what impresses me now? That doesn't impress me any. I like that stuff, and I want to know what the Lord is saying. I want to hear the latest stuff. I want to know what the new thing is. I want to see the guy that is preaching his God. Like I love that stuff. But what impresses me is the person that looks more like Jesus this year than he did last year, because I know that it just takes some gifting to do the one, but it takes formation to do the other. And the list of people who had lots of gifting but are no longer walking with the Lord is way too long for my liking. And so early on, I adopted this idea that I want you to be serving Jesus 10 years from now. I want to see all of the exciting stuff, but 15 years from now, I want you to look more. I want people to say, wow, they look more like Jesus than they did. That's what I want. And I watched Pastor Fearing walk through that. I watched him move from the flashbang, which was amazing. He was well gifted, to taking all that but having character behind it. And I watched the last years of his life be more like Jesus than the first years. I said, man, I want to finish well. Shoot, there was nothing emotional in this. I didn't think I was even going to have to not worry about crying. But, God, I want to finish strong. I want to glorify. I want Jesus to be like, oh, dude, well done. Well done. Man, you did some stupid stuff. But well done. Well done. Right? And there's so much grace for that. There's so much grace for that. But it takes participation. You guys have to be willing to do that. So that's kind of the heart behind this. And Christianity can be about a lot of things, but ultimately it's about being formed into the image of Jesus. That's what because if we're going to live with Jesus for forever, we're going to look like Jesus for forever. And so let's get on board with that process. And part of that was what Stephen led us in this morning. It's what wall has gotten built up between me and God? What do I need to confess? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to get rid of in my life? So we see Jesus here in Mark chapter 1, he says, as Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and believe a new set of ideas, and your life will be wonderful. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Matthew chapter 16. Then Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. This is the key right here. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And we are exchanging our soul all of the time when we're not following Jesus. Jesus said, follow me, follow me, follow my ways. And we read those stories and we're like, they got up, they left their nets and they followed. Yeah, that's not exactly what he's talking about. And they did. They followed him, like literally followed him. You play follow the leader when you're kids, right? Well, yes, they did that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's like, let your life, follow my ways, follow me. So we've got a lot of quotes from John Mark Comer. I quote him every once in a while, but his book, Practicing the Way, is a companion book with Richard Foster's Celebration of Disciplines. And he says this. He said, who are you following? Everybody is following somebody. Put another way, we're all disciples. The question isn't, are you a disciple? But the question is, who or what are you a disciple of? Now, church, you might have some resistance to that this morning, but you are a disciple. You are being discipled. You, everyone say me. No, but be like this. Say, who, me? You, yes, you are being actively discipled right now, today, this day. You're living in a life of discipleship. Well, I never really got into that. No, you did. You just didn't know it. We are all being formed. And here's the... We often think that, well, no, I'm just, I love Jesus and whatever. Or we're not followers of Christ. And we're like, no, I do my own thing. I'm not a disciple. Those are dumb words anyways. I'm not a disciple of anybody. I'm not being formed by anybody. You ever hear words like this? Be true to yourself. Hey, you do you. Or speak your truth, if there ever was a dumber statement than that. And just if you want to get into philosophical weeds this morning, I would love to have that conversation with you. There is no your truth. There's just truth. There's just truth. So these are in an age of rampant individualism, which is the spirit of the age. That's where we're at. Like, hey, man, you get to kind of craft your own ideology of how the world works. Like, that's where it's shifted in the last 10 or 15 years. It's not just what do you believe anymore. You get to craft your own version of reality. Mental illness. Anyways, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, like, sometimes you just get so frustrated. You're like, it's just, what? What are you even saying? Listen to these couple paragraphs from John Mark, kind of what he's saying about this idea about that you can just kind of craft whatever it is you think, and you're doing that all on your own. He says, if they, whether it's multinational corporations or politicians or anti-democratic government agents or marketing departments or influencers who just want more followers, okay, so if they can make us believe that each person is a blank slate, just following the inner compass of our authentic self in an upward march to happiness, then, well, look at this line, then they can keep us blind to all the ways we've been discipled or formed and manipulated by their desires. This isn't a tinfoil hat session this morning. This is just, the world has an agenda. And so many of us are like, hey, sign me up, right? And we don't even realize what we're signing up for. He goes on to say this, we are led to believe are just ads or news links or retweets and random digital flotsam. When's the last time you heard the word flotsam, right? They are in reality, listen, mass behavior modification techniques intentionally designed to influence how we think, feel, believe, shop, vote, and live. To quote the tech philosopher Jerry Lanier, what might once have been called advertising must now be understood as a continuous behavior modification on a titanic scale. The world, as it's called in the New Testament, is forming us constantly. But what is it forming us into? My goal today is very simple. You're being formed. That's my goal. Marty's like, what are you preaching on? You're being formed. You are being formed. And a lot of us don't know it. We think we're having our own thoughts. We think we're making our own decisions, but you're a product of formation. You guys are all, listen to me, everyone give me all of your attention. You are all a product of your formation, period. Now, you do have free will. We're Arminian in theology. We believe in free will. You have choice in the matter. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that someone's taken away your choice, but what I am saying is that you don't realize how much that you are a product of the formation that's been happening to you. And it's humbling when you look at some of this, because you think this is how I want to be and who I want to be, and I'm making my own decisions, and you'd be amazed how much you're being influenced. The question is, what am I becoming, and who am I being formed into? Listen to this from John Mark. This really hits the nail on the head. The deeper question here is, in whom are you trusting? Who or what do you put your faith in to show you the way to the life you desire? Ah, that's just it right there. It's my conviction that contrary to what we hear, living by faith isn't a Christian thing or even a religious thing. It's a human thing. We all live by faith. We all live by faith in someone is telling me. We don't always form it like that. We don't put these words out there like that. But I have faith that so-and-so, I trust that so-and-so is showing me how to have my best life now. Right? I need to do this to have the best life. And do you know what? This is so universal. I don't want you to get lost this morning. Hang with me. This is so universal. Listen, this is so universal that Jesus' very first message dealt with this topic, exactly this topic. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. The Greek word is makarios. Blessed are those. Makarios are those. Jesus is saying, and we don't have an English word that's equivalent. We say blessed. Some versions say happy. Those are poor. I've read tons of stuff on that Greek word, and there's no equivalent. It's like infinitely, amazingly blessed, pie in the sky, happiness, fairy tale ending. Are you? That's what that word makarios means. He speaks immediately. Hey, you want to know how to have the good life? That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the sermon. He's like, you want to know how to have the good life? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? He just goes through this list, which is so backwards and so upside down from what we all think. We all think, I've got to have more. I've got to have the right friends. I've got to have what I want to be happy. I've got, right? And Jesus is going, man, you are so missing it. That seems right, but let me tell you what reality is. And Jesus speaks to that immediately. So that was his first sermon. His first message was two parts. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. And then he went into he did that through the region, and we find that in Matthew chapter 4. And then in Matthew chapter 5 starts the Sermon on the Mount. That's his first sermon. But his first message was, repent. The kingdom is here. Repent. Turn, change the way you think, because God's showing up. Right? You with me? You're hearing these messages from the world so often you don't realize that they're in your head and they're in your heart. And then Jesus is like, you've got to repent. You've got to change the way that you think because the kingdom of God is here. Repent because the kingdom of God is here. Repent. Change the way you think. Change from the direction that you're going because the kingdom of God is here. Change from what you thought you were going to find fulfillment in because the kingdom's here now. Yeah. Repent. Yes. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going to walk in his ways. Change how you think. Repent. The kingdom's here. You can have more than you ever dreamt possible, but it doesn't come the way that you think it's going to come. We hear from Jesus, my way leads to life. You've got wrong thoughts. You need to change your thoughts. And you need to be transformed by renewing your mind. Jesus says, my way is right. Your thinking is wrong. Change your thinking to be like me, and you'll find life. The world says, your thinking is right. Change everyone else. Change your body. Cut your junk off. Do what you need to do, right? To be what you think your head is telling you. Do you see the difference? The world is saying your head is right. Your body's wrong. The world around you is wrong. Your family is wrong. You need to change all of that because you are right. Jesus says, one thing I know for sure, you're completely wrong. That's what Jesus says, but you're made in my image. So if you repent and you change your thinking, it'll transform your life. I want you to see the difference there. And so often, even in the church, we're like, well, that, I don't know. You got to know. The world says your thinking is right. That's the one thing that for sure is right. And Jesus says, Bubkis, that's not true. That's the only thing that's not true. Your thinking is wrong. Jesus said, I'm going to show you the way to life that is mind-boggling, and it's so backwards that you're going to have a hard time getting it. Read through Matthew chapter 5. Read through that Sermon on the Mount and go, whoa, if I really try to do this, this is really backwards from what I normally think. Right, because you're being formed. You're being formed. And it's not always to Jesus's way. And that's the spotlight this morning is recognizing, whoa, I'm being formed more than I thought I was. Oh my gosh. So John Mark says this, many Christians don't consider Jesus all that smart. Holy, sure. Kind, yeah. Sometimes even divine, but intelligent, not really. An increasing number of Christians don't agree with him on crucial matters of human flourishing. They would rather trust a politician or a celebrity or a pastor gone rogue rather than Jesus the teacher and the disciples who studied directly under him. They would never even think to consult Jesus on the pressing matters of our time, on politics or racial justice or sexuality or gender or mental health and so on and so on. And he says this, contrary to what many assume, Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. He didn't even call people to become Christians. He invited people to apprentice under him into a whole new way of living, to be transformed. He invited people to be transformed. He said, he didn't say these exact words, but he said, I know you, and you're made into my image, but your thinking is all wrong. So stop trying to surround and protect that, but change your thinking to be like my thinking, change your beliefs to be like my beliefs, and let the transformation of God transform you from the inside out. Romans 12, 2, you guys know this. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the pleasing and perfect will of God. I'm going to read it one more time. Do you notice the highlighted words there? Formed. 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 Don't be conformed to this age or to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. You guys, you only have two choices. You're being conformed or transformed. You are either being conformed or transformed. You do not have a neutral option. Church, listen to me this morning. You don't get a get out of jail free card. You don't get a I'm not participating. When we play games at our house, I often play the I'm not participating. I love it. I love being in my chair. I'm right there with them. I want to know what's going on. I take pictures. They call it my mommy blog. Oh, Kirk's taking his mommy blog pictures again because I'm always taking pictures and documenting. But I don't participate, you know, once in a while. But I don't really like games that much. I love the atmosphere. I love when people are playing games. Come to my house and play games. That's fine. You can do that. Just I probably won't play once in a while. But I do the, I'm not participating. You don't get to not participate in this. You have two, there's not a middle position on the switch. You're either looking more like the world or you're being transformed to look more like Jesus. Church, you're either looking more like you're getting formed into the world's ideas or you're getting transformed into Jesus. And I think a vast majority of Christians, not because they're evil, not because they have bad intentions, not because they're naughty, not because anything bad, they love the middle switch, but there's no position there. This is true confession time. You guys don't know this story. I found out when I was about 9 years old that my light switch up in my bedroom upstairs, if I would push it just halfway, it made weird voltage. Back then, we didn't have cable TV. It was rabbit ears, right? It was antenna driven. That did some kind of frequency. And so the TV would go. I'd sit in the stairway with my hand on the switch, trying to find the halfway. There's no halfway switch. It's either on or it's off. Right in the middle. And I'd listen to my own. Stan, it's doing it again. I just don't know what this. And you would get so mad. Trying to find the middle of that switch that doesn't have, there is no middle. And when you think you're in the middle, you're just bringing destruction. You're either looking more like Jesus or you're looking more like the world. You're conformed or you're transformed. That's the only two options that we have. John says this, so often people are naive and they think they're not being shaped by anything. Sometimes non-Christians say, I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be formed by religion. But the truth is, we're all being formed by something. The question's not, shall someone form me? The question is, who will form me? The question is not, who do I want to become? The question is, who am I becoming by the forces that are already working on me? Who? Come on, church. Spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing, John says. It's a human thing. The truth is, you've been being spiritually formed your entire life. The problem is, most of our spiritual formation is unintentional. That's what I want that word to stick in your head. For those of us who desire to follow Jesus, here's the reality. We must turn and face. If we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it's highly likely we are being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. We're gonna pound through this really quick here. He says this. He says, how we become who we become, like why are you the way you are? He's saying, that's a sacred mystery of the human soul, taunting the brightest minds of both science and spirituality. And I love this line. He says, there's a surprising level of agreement, though, across disciplines, that we are formed by six primary forces. Guess what's next? I'm going to show you the six primary forces that are unintentionally forming you. Good or bad, they're forming you. They have been forming you. They're forming your life. They're making you into who you are. But it's happening unintentionally. It's happening without you just waking up and doing this in the morning. And then put your pants on and walk away. You're submitting to all six of these. Now, this doesn't mean that they're all evil and bad, but they're forming you. It's shaping you. The six unintentional formational forces that most psychologists, spiritual advisors, most mental health experts agree on, that are habits, our relationships, the stories we believe, our environment, time, and experience are forming you right now and have been forming you. Some of the reason you react the way you react is because of these six things. Some of the reason that you believe the things that you believe are because of some of these things. Some of the reasons that you think of Jesus the way you think of Jesus is because of these six things. These have all been going on in 100% of our lives. You can't opt out of these. These are happening in your life. Okay? Let's go through each one real quick. John says, we're formed by our habits. Listen to this line. Listen, guys, what we do on a regular basis, we become. I'm going to read it again. What you do on a regular basis, you become. You become your habits. Reading the news, doom scrolling on social media, going to the gym. Well, that week's over already. Not going to the gym anymore. The things we do something to us. They get into the core of our being and shape who we become. The journalist Charles Duhigg called this the power of habit. It's easy to think we're just watching Netflix or checking the email late at night or buying another pair of shoes, but actually, listen, we're turning a kind of invisible fulcrum in our heart in a particular direction. We're becoming a particular type of person through the things that we just repeatedly do. What you repeatedly do, you'll become. That's why it's important to have good habits. Secondly, we're formed by our relationships. We become like the people we spend time with. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Right? Come on. That's why fellowship is baked into Jesus' idea of church. Jesus could have set it up very easily that you have an experience with God, and then you isolate yourself for the rest of your life until you die. I mean, there's no reason he couldn't have set it up like that. But he set it up because you're formed by those people that you spend time with. Right? Those ideas start rubbing off on you. You ever seen people that have been married for a long time? Like they just start looking like each other? Right? Can just finish each other's sentences and you become like who you hang around with. Thirdly, we're formed by the stories we believe. God wired the human brain to search for meaning to take all this data, these data points of reality, and turn them into a story, a narrative to live in and live out. That's why we love movies and novels and telling stories around the campfire. We're narrative-driven people. And every day we're exposed to stories. Stories about, we go back to this. This is Matthew 5 right here. Stories about what is the good life and what will make us happy and what is the meaning of, and what the meaning and purpose of life even is. These stories shape us far more than we realize. And whatever stories come to believe are true determine the kind of people we become. He goes on about stories to say this. The stories we believe give shape to the thousands of decisions we make every day, from whether we stay in a marriage, to how we spend our money, to how many hours we spend at work. Pick your stories carefully because they will determine who you become. If you believe the story that everyone that wears red shoes has a vendetta against you, you'll naturally start to avoid people with red shoes. It changes who you are, right? If you believe Ford is the best truck, that's the story you believe, you'll probably try to buy a Ford, right? There's all these stories that we believe. Is Ford the best truck or not? I prayed for unity last night. We're about to wreck that in 30 seconds. Winding down here. Our stories and our relationships, they all come from the fifth thing, our environment. Whether you live in a small town or global city, a Western secular culture, or traditional religious culture, we all become like the place we live. Listen to this line now. And in the digital age, not only do we live in one place, we live in two places at once. We live in our geographic area, our city or town, and we also live in the echo chambers of the algorithms that define our digital home. This may be good, or maybe bad, but it is. It's a reality. You live in your community, and you live in your digital world. And you think that you're doing the forming, but you're being formed. These forces work on us slowly over the sixth one, time. They sneak up on us little by little and have a cumulative effect. We wake up one day and realize we've changed, right? You have something to happen to you enough times over enough years, that just becomes part of what you think about life. Whether it's true or good or accurate or bad, it just becomes a part of it. So all these work together. And then he says this, we're deeply shaped. Oh yeah, that's the sixth. That was the fifth one. Says we're deeply shaped not by what we do, not just by what we do, but by what is done to us. Nor is this more true than in our family of origin and in our childhood, but it's also true of our whole lives. Do we go to college or drop out of high school? Do we get our dream job or file for bankruptcy, get married, get divorced, stay single? Our experiences deeply shape who we become. Okay, here's some questions as we finish up. Just one quote after this, we're done. Here's some introspection for you. Just going, all right, these things are shaping me. How do I know what is shaping me? What habits do you keep in your daily and weekly life? If you don't know, ask your spouse or a family member or someone who's with you every day. They can tell you your habits. Often we're just blind to them. No, you sneeze three times and then you go get a free fill on your coffee. You do it like every day. What habits do you have? And how might they be shaping you? It might not all be always bad. We just want to recognize that our habits are shaping it. Some of it's good. I make my bed every... That's a lie. I don't. But, you know, well, I kind of do because my wife lets me live there. So we make our bed. And, how might they be shaping you? Some are really good, right? We take a shower, brush our teeth. Like, these are good habits to have. Who are the most important people in your life? And what do those relationships look like? If those relationships are cancerous and toxic, it's going to look a lot different than if those relationships are life-giving and helpful. And the third one, these are just some ones I threw in there. As you reflect on your own journey, what stories have shaped the way you view the world? It is amazing how ingrained the narrative of our story about how the world works is. And you can be in around one table with 10 people that all kind of, well, you think, kind of come from the same place and believe kind of the same thing. And you can have stories that are so different about how the world works, how people work, how life works, and how to get the good life. It's drastically shocking when you listen to the stories. So what stories do you have, and how have they shaped the way you view the world? Where'd those stories come from? We get these stories and they drive us so much, but a lot of times we don't even know where they came from. Well, someone told me once that I wasn't worth anything, and I guess that's just the story I've created in my life. I guess I thought when I messed up for the 10th time, I remember telling myself, this is who you are, right? We all have 100 stories like that that we believe. We believe that. Last quote. It's a short one, and it just puts the punctuation point. And it's from Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard also wrote The Spirit of the Disciplines or Spirit of the Practices. I'll have to look it up. But he says this: the main thing God gets out of our life is the person we become. Woo! Let's end on that note. The main thing that God gets out of our life is the person we become. You're all being formed unintentionally. And Jesus said, we need to switch that and be transformed. So we're going to talk maybe in the next few weeks about how do we get transformed? How do we start being intentional about this? Good stuff? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are transforming your church. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us this opportunity to flip the switch. We don't have to be stuck in world mode. We can look like Jesus mode. And we just pray, God, that you'd help us to recognize the forces that are at work in our life. Not always bad, but they are there, that are shaping how we think and how we do life. And we just pray for your presence, for your word to reside in our hearts, and we just pray for the goodness of God to show up in our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Hey.